This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with an argument about the 1965 Voting Rights Act and the curious and complicated involvement of one New England state, New Hampshire. This week, the Supreme Court heard arguments concerning a key provision of the landmark civil rights law. At issue is Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which requires certain states and jurisdictions with a history of racial discrimination to seek federal approval before making changes to their election procedures.
Now, most of the jurisdictions are in the South, where lawyers from Shelby, Alabama, argue that the days of Jim Crow are long gone and that the onerous provision is no longer necessary. But proponents of the law say voting discrimination still exists and federal oversight is still needed. So the provision remains in force across parts of the South and in parts of several northern states, including 10 towns in New Hampshire. We wanted to find out a little bit about the history of that. So joining us now from Concord, New Hampshire, from New Hampshire Public Radio in Concord is senior political reporter Josh Rogers. Hi, Josh. Good to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
So we think about the fight for voting rights as being centered in the South. How did New Hampshire fall under the umbrella of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act?
Well, it goes back to 1970. At that time, New Hampshire had a voter literacy test on its books, which was one problem under the Voting Rights Act. Another was that during the prior presidential election, 1968, 10 New Hampshire towns, mostly small towns and mostly quite rural, had less than 50% of their eligible voters cast ballots. No one really seems to know why. There is talk that there may have been a snowstorm in some areas, but no one has a great explanation as to why that low turnout. But together, that triggered the federal oversight, and technically, that oversight is simply over those 10 towns, but effectively, since election laws affect all cities and towns in New Hampshire, every change to New Hampshire's election laws from redistricting, you know, on down have needed to be submitted to the U.S. Department of Justice for preclearance, which officials here say has been a burden historically. But, you know, I ought to say that from 68 until about 2000, New Hampshire didn't submit the changes, and apparently the federal government let that slide.
Well, I want to ask you about that. I mean, so New Hampshire wants these 10 towns or the entire state freed from this provision. But as you say, Attorney General Eric Holder, he agrees basically they should be, even though the state has pretty much ignored the federal oversight provision. Explain that.
Well, he does, and I think the argument is centered around that New Hampshire has apparently made good on clearing all those laws, and there were about 90 that hadn't been cleared during that period. And when I was talking to state election officials about the history of this, they said that getting caught up was something that was somewhat forced on them by New Hampshire having to qualify for the Help America Vote Act, which went through in 2002, and the federal government told New Hampshire essentially, you're not going to qualify for federal grants if you don't get caught up. And, you know, at that time, getting caught up was also seen as a good way to protect New Hampshire's presidential primary, particularly against the perennial argument that New Hampshire's not diverse enough. Mm-hmm. The state is 97% Caucasian. So all those laws have been cleared. And the view of the administration is that since New Hampshire's election laws have not led to disenfranchisement, that New Hampshire has been a good citizen, more or less, in catching up, New Hampshire ought to be, granted release from the law.
I
see. You can certainly understand the logic, the politics of this also.
Now, the story in New Hampshire gets even more complicated, because while most conservatives would say it's time to do away with this provision, one conservative group is trying to block the bailout of New Hampshire from this provision. What's going on there? Can you explain that?
Well, the Center for Individual Rights, which is a D.C.-based advocacy group, intervened on the case. They found a New Hampshire resident, Peter Heilman. He's a GOP town chairman in Haverhill, a small town in the Upper Connecticut Valley, to intervene. And their contention is basically that Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act needs to go in its entirety. And if states like New Hampshire are released from meeting requirements, that would create a false impression that the law, you know, works. And it is true that, you know, over the years, 100 jurisdictions have been bailed out of the act, but no state has had all its towns or precincts released since the early 1980s when Maine and Colorado did. So they say letting the law stand is the best way to show that it's onerous and needs to go entirely.
Hmm. Now, we heard arguments in the Supreme Court yesterday on this. They were pretty impassioned on both sides. I'm wondering how this is playing out in New Hampshire. Are there strong feelings about the importance of keeping this provision in place or doing away with it in the 10 towns or elsewhere across New Hampshire?
Well, you know, it's remarkable how little talk you've heard about this. There's certainly plenty of people in New Hampshire who would say that the Voting Rights Act has done good things for the country historically, but it's never been a conspicuous thing here. It did come up in the last legislative session when, you know, redistricting maps had to be submitted, and that was something that the minority party took comfort in. You know, we passed a voter ID law that had to be pre-cleared, which it was. And so, you know, Democrats, who were the minority at that point, took it as a positive. But, you know, the average citizen really doesn't see much effect of the law or know that New Hampshire is even implicated in it at this point.
Interesting story. Josh Rogers is a senior political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
You're welcome.
Up next, Wicked Tuna, Wicked Fit, and now Wicked Single. We'll talk about the rise in Massachusetts-based reality television. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.